This next section, of course, is going to be dedicated to the first reading, which is from Isaiah 49. The missal reads an introductory voice, verse, and then some others. But I'm going to read the whole thing, because you see, if we were to abstract the theme from the first reading, from the psalm, and from the gospel, it would be servant. A servant, what characterizes servanthood is intimacy and obedience. A servant of God is intimate with God and obeys God. That's a servant. So that the servant of God is Jesus himself, with his intimacy with the Father and his total obedience to the Father. Just think of his servanthood in the agony in the garden. So the text begins, not in the part we have in the missal. Hear me, O coastlands, listen, O distant peoples. The Lord called me from birth, from my mother's name, womb, he gave me my name. He made of me a sharp-edged sword and concealed me in the shadow of his arm. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me. Now our text begins. You are my servant, he said to me, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Remember, the God, the kavod of God is his radiant saving presence. So through this servant, the radiant saving presence of God is manifest. As John says, and we saw his glory, the glory of as of an only begotten, full of grace and truth. So it's glory. Now, it's a difficult text in a way. You are my servant, he said to me, comma, Israel, comma. Is this a text about Israel? The best explanation I can find is no. It is saying, you, my servant, are Israel. The whole vocation of my people is summed up in you, and through you I will show my glory. Why do I say that? Because right away is a first-person singular address to the rest of the lauder. Though I thought I had toiled in vain and for nothing, uselessly spent my strength, yet my reward is with the Lord. My recompense is with my God. For now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb. You see, this is all personal address. It's one of the servant songs. So I think, along with at least Brevard Charles and some others, that when he heard these words, Israel, you are my servant, Israel. You are my servant, Israel. You are the one who sums up the whole vocation of my people. And you have become a servant in a unique and powerful way because of my intimacy with you and because of your obedience to me. So that's what we have to do to be servants in our own way. For now the Lord has spoken and formed me as his servant from the womb. Now the servant, not in our lectionary text yet, that Jacob may be brought back to him and Israel gathered to him. So obviously there's one person through whom this is going to be happening. And now there will be the servant speaks in the first person. And this is in our lectionary. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, he says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. How powerful that is, huh? I am going to make you, yes, raise up the tribes of Jacob, restore the survivors of Israel. The same Jacob in Israel. At this time, when our Lord is applying this to himself, that is, there were only, in fact, in Isaiah 49's time as well, 10 tribes had been lost. There were only 2 left. And so the duty of the Messiah was to find these tribes and regather them and bring them to Israel, where the people would once again be glorious, united, bound by fellowship. Did our Lord do that? Yes. What do we read in the book of Revelation? From the tribe of Asher, 144,000. From the tribe of Gad, 144,000. From the tribe of Reuben. In other words, they are gathered. They're gathered in heaven. All the faithful Jews are there. And that's the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, to do that. See, it's too little to just be my servant and to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. As important as this is, and Jesus is very clear about that in the Gospel, that one of his jobs, one of his missions, is to restore Israel. And he does it in a glorious way. Now, restored Israel should be in the church on earth. And we have to pray for that and work for that and acknowledge that one of the problems, the Jewish people have problems as well with us, was the way we treated the Jews when we had hegemony in Europe. I know one friend, a Jewish scholar, who was working on a gospel with a Christian scholar. And he said to me one day, you know, now that I'm getting to really know Jesus, I love him. He doesn't think he's the Messiah or Son of God. We have to show the face of Christ. And we haven't. And so, while the Jewish resistance is a mystery on their part, our cruelty has been a mystery on our part. And so, you see, the rest of this text goes, I will make you a light to the nations. That's this servant. That's Jesus. I am the light of the world. I make you a light to the nations. That's what we sing every Compline, right? A light to the nations, the glory of your people Israel. And so, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. That's remarkable, isn't it? You see, Yeshuati at Kiseh Haaretz, that you will be an Or Gorim, the light of the nations, light of the Gentiles, so that my salvation will reach to the ends of the earth. This is what drove the missionaries to bring the news, the good news, of what God has done for the human race to the whole world. And it's still the mission of the church to be a light and to bring salvation to the whole world. This is our duty. This is a dimension of Shabbos, of the Lord's Day as well. But we'll touch on that some other time. And so we see that this servant song, one of, people usually say four, I say five, because there's another one in Isaiah 61. This is self-proclamation. A prophet created this persona. He may have identified with it himself in some way, but he's not the light to the nations. There is one coming after him, and he knows that. And it's our Lord, Jesus Christ. So you see how we have here this dimension of servanthood. God is speaking to this man. He's saying, it's not enough that you restore my people. I'm going to make you a light to all the Gentiles. That's Jesus. Now, as I say, the theme of this Mass, not the theme of 1 Corinthians very much, I think is servanthood. That means taking this text, you see, where it says, see, the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb, that Jacob be brought back to him. You see, he said to me, Israel, I will show my glory through you. That's addressed to every believing Christian. I will show my glory through you. I'm calling you to be a servant. That means being intimate with me. It can't possibly mean getting orders and going off and doing them. God doesn't need that. He can do it all himself. What he can't do is transform us. I'll tell you a personal story. Well, I lived in Israel 5 years. and I worked very hard to sort of initiate, though someone had started it the year before, and build up the charismatic renewal. And one day I was praying, and I saw in my mind's eye, not a vision, I saw a building, a tall square building, and one side falling off. And I knew that was one of the groups going to destroy the whole building. So I said to God, God, don't you care? And God the Father said to me, yes, I care. But let me tell you, I can renew the whole church in 5 minutes without you. There's only one thing I can't do without you. And that is make you holy. Bring you into union with me. I can't do that without you. And that's the call to servanthood. To seek that unity with God. Trust him that he'll bring us to that unity. Because there's nothing greater than to be a servant of God as Jesus was. And to let him make us holy. And then, you see, we can say in our own right, I live, now not I, Christ lives in me. And Christ in me is transforming me if I let him, if I love him, if I want to be intimate with him and obey him.